Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And wow, I can't believe 2 weeks has already gone by ever since we've started going bi-weekly. Goes by real fast anyways, and got lots going on. First, we want to give our condolences to the on the passing of Walter Gretzky, Canada's hockey dad. Yeah, that was sad. I remember him a little bit mostly at the Gardens, actually, more so than at Scotiabank Arena, but I didn't know he was that much of a huge Leaf fan, but apparently he was. I knew he liked the Leafs, but obviously when his son played with the Oilers and the Kings, maybe he didn't vote for us so much, but I remember him at the games at the Gardens, and all the fans used to always be around him. And then at Scotiabank Arena, they always showed him on the scoreboard when he was at the game and that. But I never had a personal.
I have a personal Walter Gretzky story because my sons played minor hockey here in Milton. He actually came to Milton quite often to just watch minor hockey games. And one season, my son happened to play on the team called the Kings, same colors and everything, purple and black. And he happened to come one weekend to watch the teams. And then he saw, oh my gosh, there's like a team Kings here. And the next thing we know, he is in the locker room with our kids, giving them a pregame pep talk and, you know, telling them all about, you know, Wayne and how Wayne, my son, played for the Kings too. And he actually also, one of our players, who's our goalie at the time, his nickname is Tiger. He actually had cancer when he was really little, and Walter actually came to visit him in the hospital also when he was recovering at SickKids. So there was all these connections, and it was really, really special, and the kids were so, so very excited. And of course, we won that game, and it was actually a little sad too, because my husband had the flu. He normally was the one who shuttled my son to and from games, and he had the flu really bad and couldn't go to that game, so he missed all of that, and I got to be the one to enjoy that kind of little story. So it was a very special and something that we all remember. And of course, he had his little autograph cards that he would personally sign for everyone, and so all of my kids have one of those. And he really took his role and his love for hockey to the limit, for sure. Just going around and inspiring pretty much everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And rest in peace, Walter Gretzky. And I think they were saying they were saying if he should be put into the Hall of Fame. So you never know.
It'd be interesting if he did go into the Hall of Fame. He pretty much is there representing all the hockey parents, you know, put the time in with their kids and, you know, devote so much love and time and attention and money also to helping their kids live their dream. So,
And living the dream. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go on to the current with what's going on with our current dream of a team. it's been, I guess, up and down, let's just say, to say the least, last little while. We had 3 wins versus the Oilers. Then we lost 2 in regulation to the Canucks. Then we lost 2 of 3 to the Jets. And then we lost in regulation too. And then we had the loss to the Senators last night. We're recording this on Monday. So after that Sens game. So it hasn't been too great lately. But
no. Yeah, it's, I think, you know, we were talking about how in particular this, the Jet series was going to be kind of a gauge for our team. And if that's a gauge, you know, that means it looks like we're running out of gas. We need to fuel up because, it was not too pretty. And of course, last night, they pretty much had nothing left in the tank, it didn't seem. So, I don't know what's next, but hopefully this little layoff that they have is going to give them a little bit of time to practice, work on some things, and sort of get their stuff together, so to speak.
In the meantime, and there was also, a trade, right?
Yes, we had a trade. Yeah. Mikko Lehtinen going to Columbus for a 24-year-old goaltender. I'm not going to try to say his name. I'm going to have to practice that a little bit more. Let's just go with VV. So we were talking last time about how, you know, Lehtinen, you know, is not really getting a lot of time here, and how, you know, if he could play more even in the AHL, that, you know, maybe that would benefit him. And I guess that's coming to fruition now, and that we don't know if he kind of put the gears to them saying he wants to play or needs to play, but it looks like they're giving him an opportunity elsewhere because he's just not going to get the time that they want to give him to develop, because there's just no roster space for him right now.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, though, like now that he's gone, it's like we're one injury away. Apparently, it looks like we're one injury away from Martin Marincin again on defense.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, I guess, with any other trades that might happen in the next couple of weeks, like everybody is kind of saying. But on another quick note, we just want to say that we've seen the last of those retro reverse jerseys that you can barely see the names and numbers on them. And that was on the second game on the March 11th versus the Jets. It's the fourth and final time that they're wearing those limited edition jerseys. We actually didn't have that bad of a record. It was 3-0-1. And it was 2 overtime victories, I think, of the 3. And they're already on sale at Real Sports.
So I was just going to say, maybe I'll pick one up on sale.
So if you want a discount on it, if you actually like the jerseys, whatever, you can pick yourself up one on sale.
Well, one thing is that if it's limited edition, they're not going to have them again. Say, what if this turns out to be a special year for us? That could be a little commemorative. So if you have a good feels about what might be coming down the pike for us, maybe you want to grab one of those and commemorate the year. I don't know. They're forgettable to me. It's too bad because I think when we were talking about it at the very beginning of the year, I was saying that I really wanted to see them live before I made my total decision. But so, as you were saying, we are, you know, making our way through this season, and we actually are about halfway through. We are halfway through, actually. And Sheldon Keefe is at the point where he's trying to establish some consistency, and it's obviously been difficult. And the injury situation is starting to get a little bit better. And of course, we have our thoughts on what's going on with the team, and we'll get into it with the good, the bad, and the ugly, and our Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel, what's coming up with the blue and white. And without further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right, the good, the bad, the ugly. All right, so the good. My good is TJ Brody. And I chose him because I was thinking for the amount of time that Leafs Nation, everybody and us have complained about the defense, we got to give some love to a defenseman. And so I gave giving TJ Brody some love. He's got 3 points in the last five games, plus 13 in 30 games, plus his plus minus is plus 13 in the 30 games that he's played. He's only taken one penalty, which is quite amazing, I thought. He's only got 2 minutes.
That was recently, too. I was saying
I think it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he has 44 block shots, one behind Jake Muzzin. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good, too. So, I just think he's really, after the first couple of weeks, I mean, he's feeling his way through, I guess, the whole systems and everything and getting used to the defensive pairing with Riley. And I just think he's really matched well with Riley, and his stick is good. I think it was two podcasts ago where we were talking about how every time we put the sticks out, the teams would like fall down and we would end up getting penalized mm-hmm. on the plays. But they obviously addressed it because we said that Sheldon Keefe had noticed this as well. But I think like TJ Brody is really good at that, like with his stick and just even though he doesn't look like he has that long of a reach, but he does apparently. I don't know. But that is impressive as well. So yeah, that's my good.
Well, it's actually interesting that you said him because I was going between
That's your bad?
Him. No. No, I was going between him and the person that I that the player oh. that I picked for my good. And I was gonna pick Brody. But then I decided to go with this other player just because he's been through a really rough time and he's coming along now. And I think finding his place on our team on the fourth line, and that's Jimmy Vesey. These last few games, maybe not the very, very last ones, but you know, when we were in Edmonton, he finally started to get great assist and then managed to get a couple goals, and he seems to be gaining confidence as he's going. And I think, you know, as much as he probably had, you know, the designs on being maybe a, you know, other first or second line guy, as he's kind of been put down the lineup, I think probably there was some disappointment there. But he's also now finding his way, and I think he's cementing a spot for himself there now, beside with Spezza there.
I think so.
I think
I
so.
Know. I have a feeling. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the third and fourth lines. Actually, Engvall might be out when Wayne Simmons comes back. Mm-hmm. But because I was kind of surprised that you chose VC. Mm-hmm. Not that he's been bad, but because he's just like he's been okay. He did have that. Like those one or two games, like mm-hmm. you were saying, he got a couple of goals, but I don't know. I just think once Simmons comes back, like somebody has to be out, mm-hmm. right? And I was thinking it was either, it's probably going to be Engvall, I think, maybe.
Maybe, because I think Simmons probably won't be a fourth line. I think he might play farther up the lineup, personally.
Yeah, and well, as it goes along, obviously, yeah. They'll probably, I mean, he's been out for quite a while, so they'll probably have to manage him a bit. But
I just see that he's getting some confidence. And so I'm still interested in seeing what he can do and if he can keep putting stuff together. And I'm going to mention him again a little bit later also. But but there's other things that he is doing well that are maybe not as noticeable. Like scoring or, you know, getting on the score sheet.
Well, we were looking forward to, we said this before, but mm-hmm. we were looking forward to him maybe matching up well with Kerfoot. But
yeah,
everyone's saying anyways that Kerfoot is the only person to be traded. So,
but I mean, maybe that's a good thing. That's what I was just going to say is that maybe there isn't a good match with Kerfoot.
Yeah.
It's possible too. Yeah, yeah. You know?
All right. Okay. So let's go on to the bad. Mm-hmm. Bad is the third period woes for me. Mm-hmm. It's coming back a little bit, just a little bit, where I went back and actually looked, and versus the Canucks. We were leading in going into the third period, and we lost 4-2. Mm-hmm. That was on the Saturday night, I think it was. And then versus Winnipeg, we won in OT, but we actually had the lead in the third period with just over 7 minutes left in the game. Mm-hmm. Mikheyev, I think, scored that. And then we couldn't hang on to keep the lead in the third. And then that final game versus Winnipeg, we were tied going into the third. Mm-hmm. And then we lost again. And I know there's been other cases earlier in the season where I guess we were in good shape going into the third period, yep. but we couldn't hang on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just hope that, I guess Sheldon Keefe has been saying over the past this week, I guess, where we've lost 5 of 6 games, that it's the details
yeah,
that are getting missed right now. And I'm just hoping that this detail of the third period, that they get back on track that well, way, because
still, like, I, you know, is yeah, that's true and all that. It doesn't feel as bad as previous years somehow, if that makes any sense.
No, because we were record breaking.
That's true.
Yes, yeah. So I'm being nitpicking, actually.
True.
Right? Yeah. But yeah, no, it's
I mean, they got to nip it in the bud for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and I'm hoping that maybe some of it after that, the West trip and everything, maybe some of it is fatigue. Maybe now that they're going to have 4 days at home, you know, that's going to make them feel they're going to have a little bit of mental downtime.
I saw a picture just before we came on. I saw a picture of Austin Matthews walking his dog. Like everybody likes a, aww. I was trying to figure out where he was. It looked like mm-hmm. a fall time picture, but it's mm-hmm. not. And he was wearing these flip flop things. I thought to myself, how are you going for
he
a
loves
walk?
Those.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, shouldn't you
he
be
knows he's not in Scottsdale, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
It's not as know. Warm as it is there.
But, yeah, but
I guess anyway. being on the ice all the time, they're used to having cold feet, so this maybe doesn't bother them.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So my bad is basically turnovers and giveaways. For some reason, we are still a giveaway machine. Any idea who is the worst player on our team for this, Christine? Do you have a guess?
You see, this is the thing, though. I sent you the email beforehand. Did you read the email beforehand with that? Because you can say he's the worst if it's the same person that I'm thinking.
I don't know.
But apparently these stats, when it comes to takeaways and giveaways and turnovers, aren't that accurate.
Certainly. Well, just bear with me. Just answer the question.
All right. Is it Morgan Riley?
It is. It is. And it's not even close. It's by a mile. He's
oh, really?
Minus 29, which the next closest person is Muzzin at minus 16. So he has 41 giveaways.
Wow.
Mind you, I will say, like you said, you have to take this stuff with a grain of salt, because guess what he also has the most of by a mile? It's his time on ice. He's got like 200 minutes more than the next person, which is like Mitch and Austin. So obviously two defensemen, all of them have the highest.
Yeah.
So they're all going to, but at the same time, those giveaways are killing us and contributing to the trouble that Freddie's having, because when you have the giveaways, and in those situations, he doesn't seem to be great on them. That is when it looks glaring because of that. And of course, that's a stat that you know, media tends to kind of want to point out. So any idea who is the best on our team?
Meaning
the lowest. Yeah. So as not giving the puck away.
Maybe Hyman?
No. And again, this is not even close. Austin Matthews has the best ratio here, and he is also the only plus player on our team.
Oh, okay.
Any where
was
idea
Marner?
Who's number
I wonder
two?
What Marner.
Huh? Marner and Willie are about the same at
Marner's
minus
on the
11.
Penalty kill.
Right? Yeah, again. So
that's. Yeah.
They're, but they have actually not a bad ratio because they have a lot of takeaways also. But yeah, so yeah, with Mitch, it's that he's on the ice a lot and he plays on the penalty kill. So, but they're about the same. Who do you think is number two?
Maybe it's Tavares?
No, it's Jimmy Vesey. He's even. And everybody else on our team is a minus. And the worst forward?
Yeah.
Who is that? Who do you think that is?
The worst?
Yeah.
For giveaways? Mm-hmm. Engvall.
Nope. It's actually Kerfoot.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Huh. But again, not horrible. So...
And you take it with a grain of salt, like you said.
Yeah. Do with that what you will. But it's with these things too, it's not necessarily the amount. Sometimes it's the quality, not the quantity. So it's the timing of these things. So it's like when it happens, that sometimes is the thing that seals it, you know, and makes it look, you know, worse than it is. But yeah, so. Unfortunately, we do.
Because I saw we're sixth. I guess we're sixth in the league when it comes to D-zone giveaways from what I saw on this website. Mm-hmm. It's morehockeystats.com is the website I found. I don't know how. I just found it today. I don't know. I assume it's a credible website, but it was up to date as of last night's game. So if you want to have a look, you can look at morehockeystats.com for that, for the information on turnovers, giveaways, that sort of thing.
But it was the thing that actually I just made me smile though is like Austin Matthews, how he is he's the only one and he's plus +7, and that's because he has his giveaways, but he has the most takeaways. So this is something that we knew, but this is a Selke trophy stat, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so, that's true. He's pretty good at it. And poor Mo, he's the goat, unfortunately. But it's not all his fault because he plays important minutes. He's on the ice all the time. But then you got a question too. Maybe he's on the ice too much. Maybe he plays too much. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah. Well, he's going to come up next because you were right. But we'll get into that in a minute.
I knew it.
We're going to the ugly.
Yeah.
Okay. So we only have one ugly. That's me, of course. I picked out the ugly.
Well, you're not ugly.
No.
You picked an ugly. Pick the ugly.
I was starting to think, actually, before we came on to it, I thought maybe I'm showing my age with this kind of stuff, but I don't know. The social media bashing of Frederik Andersen, it is just driving me insane. And we've talked about this almost every episode, I think, at this point. So I'm going to try to not talk about it too much, but this is what I wrote. I actually wrote something on the Facebook group post today, and most people were pretty good about it, but this is what I wrote. I just said, for everyone complaining about Freddie Andersen, it's time to stop, because it's not going to help, and in the end, it's about the playoffs. He's the number one goalie, so why not support him and Jack Campbell whenever he gets back? Positive thoughts equals positive results. And we're only going to go as far as they take us. And somebody else actually reminded me, too, before this last stretch of games of the losing 5 of 6, he's only lost 3 games in regulation.
No, totally. I know.
So, I don't know. I just think, why go on about it constantly? Like, you made your point. I guess this is the idea of social media where I'm showing my age, I guess, because I'm not that into it where, like, I'd rather read the newspaper and stuff like that, have something physical rather than listening to people yell constantly on social media. But, like, why go on about it constantly the same thing? Like, you've made your point. Move on. Like, there's obviously, it's not just one person. That's the problem here. Like, yes, I can say definitely he hasn't played well. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But like you're saying, there's people that are putting like a pizza up the middle of the ice and going in point blank, however many breakaways or that he has to, you would hope he would stop one. Lately, he hasn't.
Yeah.
Right? That he would make that big save. But I don't know. I just think it's something we're halfway through the season. And like we said before, they got the time off. Now, hopefully they'll like kind of have the reset button and come back against Calgary on Friday for the first of two games. But I just think they, like this constantly, it's just Freddie and Freddie and Freddie. And then underneath that, though, I saw the negative tones, which brings us to what you were just saying when it comes to the number one person of having the most giveaways most giveaways in the defensive zone. I'm hearing the grumblings underneath that Freddie talk of people complaining about Morgan Riley.
And that's partly because of the fact that his contract's up soon.
Yes, and exactly.
So now they're like, well, maybe we don't need him. And
So once Freddie is gone and into the sunset, and everybody is happy about that, and we'll won't have any goalie basically, or we'll have a guy that's played nine games total. And like, I don't know what's going to happen with the goalie situation, but once that's done and Freddie's gone, they can't complain about him. Morgan Riley is going to be the next person. I just know it.
Well, I mean, that is what Leafs Nation likes to do, right? It's like, how many defensemen have we rode out of town on a rail? Like, you know, look at Larry Murphy and Brian McCabe, and like same thing happened with Brian McCabe. Remember when he got his contract? And after that, it was like,
oh yeah, that's true too. Yeah, yeah.
The guy could. Was... There's nothing the guy could do right, and even Cabrelet to a lesser extent also got reamed out pretty much then too. So seems that's it's like, I don't know. The thing with social media is it's a very in the moment reaction. So in these moments, Freddie has looked questionable on some of those goals, which also, you know, happened, you know, after some giveaways. So he just, his reactions are not great. That's not the best part of his game. He's great in a scrum and stuff like that. He's excellent. Glove side, there's almost nobody better than him. The other part of the problem is that in these few games that we just had, he happened to be facing elite competition competition that was playing at an elite level and stopping everything, you know, like they had eyes in the back of their head. So
those two games Hellebuyck played for Winnipeg.
He's
a Vezina winner, obviously, right?
So that's the problem, is that Freddie was good, but he wasn't great and he wasn't elite. So the juxtaposition of those two things made him look worse than he actually is. So it's because that social media is in the moment venting. Is what makes it seem so horrible. And it's because that's the last thing in people's minds. And so if he were to otherworldly in the games against Calgary, say, then that would be different. The other thing that I see with him is, I don't know, and I don't know if you're going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Yeah. There's something about him that reminds me, similar to how Matt's was, in my opinion, that he is kind of the same gear all the time. You know, he's steady.
Yeah, but that's
Freddie.
A goalie, though.
Yes.
I understand that as being a goalie.
Yeah.
Goalies are strange that way. So
yeah, but he's...
I'm okay with that because he's a goalie.
Exactly.
With Matt's, it was different.
Yes, but he's steady Freddie, though. But you're not seeing... You don't see more from him. Like there doesn't seem to be that thing where he kicks it up a notch, and it's because of his demeanor, I think, that it seems that way. Yeah. I'm not saying it is that way, but it seems that way because he is, you know, quiet, stoic, doesn't say much. He's not very emotional. He's not a reactionary goalie. He's a very positional goalie, and all of these things kind of conspire to make it easy to, you know, pick on him because that's just the way he is. Like he doesn't have enough standout games where like his line is like very much, he's like, there's a line And he's like a little bit above, a little bit below all the time. He never goes, you know, in a real big peaks up and down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I mean, he's 30. I think he's 30 or is mm-hmm. he 31 now? I think he's 31. Yeah. I didn't know actually, going to age, Jack Campbell's 29.
Yeah.
So he's not that young either.
No. And I mean, I'm not worried about the 30 age range for goalies. And usually that's not old for a goalie. Like they're normally around coming into their own and really establishing themselves at that stage. So
but, I mean, the
like,
guy just came back from injury. The guy just came back from mm-hmm. injury as well. Mm-hmm. Like these.
Well, and I mean, that's also part of the problem because who else is injured?
Yeah.
Jack Campbell
is.
Yeah,
no, I know.
And his injury is slightly worse. So therefore, who has to be playing at not 100%? Guess who?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And he had to play last night also because Hutchison didn't have it last night. So then, you know, you're thinking he maybe has a... And I thought when Freddie came in last night, he actually played pretty good.
Like, oh, yeah,
he
no,
looked
they said
actually
he's...
better last night than he did against Winnipeg, in my opinion. So he wasn't the problem last night at all.
Yeah, the thing you mentioned a while back, you mentioned about the glove side normally being the stronger side, mm-hmm. but apparently on Freddie, I heard this morning, that's where all the goals are going in,
right
on his
now?
Glove side. Yes.
One thing I'm wondering about is I wonder how his eyes are, like, because, you know, you hit the 30 mark, as we know, things tend to go downhill pretty fast. So maybe he needs to get some laser eye surgery, tweak
so
that
they said,
a bit. I don't know. Like, because maybe his reactions are just a little bit off.
Yeah, because I like listening to the, like, former goaltenders. This mm-hmm. was from Marty Brouin, I guess.
Yeah.
He was mentioning that a lot of the goals were going in on the glove side, mm-hmm. so they'll have to.
Yeah, that's not usual for him. Normally, he's really tight with that.
Yeah, so they said that's something like practice, obviously, that sort of thing, that you get that back eventually, being supposed to be the strong side of the goalie. But yeah, let's move on. We spent enough on Freddie. We love Freddie, or I do. Anyways, I keep, when I comment on Twitter and Facebook, I always say it's both of us because I just kind of include Syl in it.
Yeah. Well,
she has to take my opinion.
I think I'm just a little bit more balanced in my point of view on him. But I love Freddie too. I mean, what's not to love? He's a great guy. And he deserves better. So.
Yeah. And we need two goalies, bottom line, anyway. So,
for sure. And and that's the other issue is that, you know, we brought in a certain person that everyone seems to want to be in the net every night. And guess what? He can never be because he's always hurt. So that's a liability also in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the positive and mm-hmm. what's going on with our Leafs on a positive note. Let's roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
All right. So in the third spot, we have John Tavares. And this guy's not getting enough love either, really.
No.
He has 9 points in the last 10 games. And with a beauty set up on that Nylander goal in the second game versus the Jets. He is, you know, quietly putting together a usual Tavares season. This guy is all consistency. And we are very lucky to have him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, one guy on... I don't know if it was Twitter or Facebook. He was saying like he wishes JT would stop trying to be like he's between 20 and 25 years old and stop with the moves. And I was like, what? I was like, stop with the I'm like. So the way what I said to them back was, as long as the moves don't cost us, I'm good with whatever kind of moves he wants to make on the ice. Like,
absolutely.
And I said, and he has, what do you want from the guy? He has 9 points in 10 games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right? Doesn't make any sense.
No.
But, all right, we're going to go to number two now. Number two, I did have him originally at number one, but I thought we need to give some love to somebody else too. But number two is Austin Matthews. It's very interesting, actually, how the team plays well when he's not in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, those couple of games in Edmonton, he was off those few games with the wrist injury, but despite still dealing with that wrist injury, like he just, it's unbelievable really what he does. It's kind of, I like it the way he's, like he had that incredible OT winner versus the Jets. And it was like that was every highlight reel on every highlight reel that night. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And yeah, I like it the way they've adjusted him because he can't take his patented shot.
Mm-hmm. Although he did have a good boomer yesterday. So maybe that's coming back.
Yeah. He even broke the stick there the first time, or the stick broke on him. Unfortunately, it exploded on him. They've adjusted and they've put him more in the net front, even though I do get worried when he's getting cross-checked and bumped around in there in front of the net. But he seems to be doing okay. He's a big guy and he's getting some goals differently now that way, in front of the net instead of that patented wrist shot. They actually say that the wrist can heal even though he's playing, that somehow it's... can heal at the same time. I don't know.
He's so versatile, right? Like I actually rewatched the Stephen Brunt interview that they had with him when he first got signed back in Scottsdale and stuff, and they were showing his four goal night, his very first game, and all the different spots that he scored from. So like he really can put it in from anywhere. So our number one pick for this week on the highlight reel is William Nylander.
Yay. So
ever since he was benched versus the Habs, he has some more jump in his game. Who would have thought? I guess that's why coaches bench players. Anyway, we love the toe drag on the third game versus the Oilers, and he has 10 points in the last 10 games. So good on you, Willie. Willie Styles.
Yeah. And he's really upped his game, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Willie Styles per Jumbo Joe, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah.
So, obviously, it's been very busy with games lately. And so, it's a welcome relief that the team is going to get a bit of a break. And they're only going to be playing 6 games in the next 15 days. So, that's like, wow. So, it's going to be like a vacation for them.
Yeah.
So, Chris, let's talk about what's coming up for the blue and white.
Yeah, so it's kind of a weird schedule. I should have so much time off. I don't know what we're going to do as fans to
it's just sleep
to keep going. We'll have to either sleep or watch other teams. Obviously, they're going to be catching up, but it'll give Keith some time and the coaching staff to have practice time, because they definitely, that was the other thing I was actually going to say earlier. One of my bad choices too was the PK. They definitely need practice on that.
Yeah,
on the PK. But anyhow, so the first game set we have this week is versus the Flames. We have the back-to-back 2-game series on the Friday and Saturday, and then we're off another 4 days until the following Thursday when we play those lovely Senators again.
Oh, they gotta freaking just have to just kill them one of these games. Come on.
And
can't believe that they are late.
And then we have the 2-game home set versus the Oilers, and that's the final time we'll see the Oilers. And then finally, we have a game versus the Jets on the final day of March, March 31st. So I don't know. What are you thinking about this next couple of weeks going into the second? We're in the second half right now of the season, but what are you thinking about these series that are coming up?
Well, I think we'll be happy to be playing the Oilers again, because somehow we seem to do well against them. So maybe we'll get our confidence back if we don't end up doing great against the Senators. In Calgary, that should be interesting, actually, given that they've had the coaching change now. And they have Sutter behind the bench again. So we'll see if that has... changes their game a little bit, and we have a different look versus them when we play them. But I don't know.
They say
those
that,
Jets look pretty good too. So
again, they say that for Calgary, they're saying like Daryl Sutter has put in his, physicality into the game, which obviously is part of his game. So I don't know how we'll deal with that. I guess we might have Simmons back, hopefully. So by then that. Mind you, we don't want him obviously fighting when he just came back from the broken wrist.
Yeah. So
that was where I was saying we might see Scott Sabourin.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But and then the Sens, I mean, every time, actually, I've noticed the last time I keep saying that we just need to blow them out. And I'm thinking I just don't want to make any predictions at all, basically, about anything. Because none of my predictions end up right.
Maybe we don't need to blow them out. Maybe we just need to put together some good games against all of these teams and just stick to our game, especially against Winnipeg. I really think that what we saw against them is not what we really should expect. I really think like we actually outplayed them for pretty much
the
whole series. So they happened to win, and maybe that could bode well for in our favor, because maybe they'll be, you know, thinking that they're home and cooled out when they're facing us again, and we'll get better performances and finally actually find the back of the net against Hellebuck.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we should have won that, especially the first game. Like that, I mean,
totally,
it was just insane the chances that we had. And I don't think there'll be any issues. With the next game, we'll be fine that way. And then the Oilers series, you know, they're gonna want to make up for the losing the three games to us. Like they're gonna, Connor McDavid, he always seems to like playing here as well. So I think, that'll be a good test again. And, but we have lots of practice time and rest time. Yeah. So hopefully over all these games, hopefully we'll be good.
And I think the next 2 weeks is also prime time to be looking out to see if Dubas makes any moves, because I do really think that he's going to want to bank, especially if we're going to be trading outside of our division, he's going to be wanting to bank that time so that we're getting an extra 14 days with our player in the lineup, as opposed to, you know, pulling the trigger on trade deadline late day and then waiting another 14 days after that to get that person in the lineup. So I think he wants to be ahead of the game. So if anything's going to be happening, it's probably going to be in the next, we'll be seeing stuff happening in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think so as well, but I don't want to say what or whatever everybody's saying.
No predictions or anything like that.
We don't know if it's defense, forward, whatever. But one good thing, again, Simmons and hopefully Jack Campbell will be back at some point during this next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And those will be two big additions, especially Simmons. Like he just brings the mojo into the lineup somehow. Like it just, it gives us something different that we don't have right now. So, yeah. So, before we go, we have to talk about this new song by Justin Bieber called Hold On, which he described as a love letter from the Biebs to the team. I don't know. I was actually surprised. You said you liked the song, right?
You know what? I didn't listen to it when it first came out. I didn't really listen to it. And so I listened to it on Saturday because, well, obviously that's game day. So I thought, today's a good day to give it a listen. And of course they had the video that goes with it. And I really was surprised how much I loved it. And because we're fans, and I'm a huge fan, I really felt what he is saying, you know, like, and he's saying basically in that song, what you're saying is that we got to give them good vibes and we got to support them. And we're here for them through thick and thin. And I love the video. Like, I don't know. There was so much joy in that video that I watched it three times on Saturday, I have to admit. I really, really enjoyed it. So I really liked it. I'm not like a huge Bieber fan or anything like that, but I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I think it's, I don't know if they'll, because I don't think it has enough of a beat to actually put it like as a end of game song or whatever. Like it's not peppy enough, I don't think, to be like that, or like definitely not. Oh, actually, that's what I wanted to ask you too before we go about the goal songs. What do you think about the idea of now this will be around the league, not just us, but the player actually choosing their goal song? I think that would be
That idea, because I love how in baseball that the players have their walk-up music.
That's the same idea.
I totally think they should have their own songs. I 100% am behind that. And it's another opportunity for them to show their personality. And like we've been saying, where it's not, players are not very accessible to us as fans now, unless you are really, really lucky to, you know,
and win a contest,
or you know somebody or something. Like, yeah, it's, you don't get to see them and, you know, interact with them. So this is, it's one way that they can kind of showcase their style, what they like. And honestly, it's, to me, I mean, it's good for the artists too, that they pick, because what? Yeah. Guess who's going to be listening to those songs? I mean, they already have their playlists and stuff on the app and everything for the team. So why not take it to the next level and have, you know, I know Freddie's also had his own playlist, that he's had a promotion with, I can't remember what it was for, but.
Well, that's the thing, actually, I guess it wouldn't be fair for the goalie technically.
No, true. Right. Because, well, unless he has a shutout, then that could be,
I guess,
game song at the end. They can figure out a way to do it anyway. So anyway, we would love to hear from you on what you think of Justin Bieber's love song to the Leafs, or your thoughts on the team's choice of music when a goal is scored. So definitely give us a shout on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at LTL1917. And you can follow us there if you don't already.
Yeah, and we'd also really appreciate if you could take a bit of time to give our podcast a review on whatever app you use to listen to us, on Apple or Podcast Addict, any of the Spotify, whichever app. And you can email us at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com and give us feedback or ideas for future shows. We're very open to whatever you want to hear from us, basically. Mm-hmm. We have lots of material we come up with on ourselves, but it helps.
And another way you can connect with us, obviously, too, is at ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com. You can follow us there and check out our photo gallery. And you can also support the show by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So as always, we want to thank our healthcare workers for everything they do, and we want everyone to stay safe and well, and happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Yes, happy St. Patty's Day.
Go Leafs, go.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.